Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. With all the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And what is going on, everybody? Well, we certainly know that the markets have zero fear. And, of course, as we have said many, many times, money trumps everything. And, of course, what are we seeing now? Markets higher. And, of course, if we go back to yesterday, what a wild day. From the perspective of what was going on and how the markets reacted. I mean, can you imagine? Now let's think back to any certain time in history when we had an event of a North Korean missile launch and the markets made all-time record highs. And they did it easy. You know, it was amazing to watch the selling pressure off the news, which was really not very much. But I think there was some very important footprints to watch and to understand about how markets really work and what really drives markets. And I think the first thing to look at would be the way that gold initially reacted. Now, gold was in an extremely tight range all day Tuesday anyways, because it looks like it wants to break to the upside. But it had every opportunity to bust it and go straight up. And of course, it barely moved on that fear. And if you are from the school and you believe that gold is a fear trade, which I do, I mean, I don't. I actually believe it's a commodity, but I do believe that people traded on fear. Let's get that correct. However, nobody budged. Amazingly, the gold remained in basically about a $2 to $3 to $4 range the entire day. It had a quick spurt of like, I think, $2.50 to $3 higher at 1 o'clock Eastern, but it never went anywhere and it certainly didn't follow through. So that was sign number one. Sign number two, the bond market. Typically, when there is fear and things going on, what do we usually see happen? Well, the bonds usually rally. And of course, they didn't. In fact, they sold off a little bit. And of course, the VIX at the cap or the max was up about 30 cents for the day. So those signs all point to that nobody cares about the bombing. It's amazing how we've left the building. Fear has left the building. Complacency has totally overtaken everything. And it's all about the greed. It's all about the money. And we continue to see those people run in to kind of grab and get that cash, right? Because they don't care. They're not worried about anything. Nothing is of a fear factor to the markets right now. And that would be something that says to you that you should, hey, be careful, watch, and stop trying to predict the next big down move, because what are we seeing? The markets are not ready to go down. Look, I can probably come up with 1,000 reasons why the markets should go down right now. And only one reason why the market should go up. But what is the case? The case is the markets are going up. Okay. And that's the only thing that should matter to you today, is that the markets are going up, and until they stop going up, nothing is going to stop them. Now, I can say with a great deal of certainty that, in my opinion, the markets are looking for a reason to sell off. But obviously, it's not North Korea. Nobody's afraid of nuclear war. And again, as I restate here, that not only did they not sell off yesterday, but the actual rally, the Russell rallied 150 points in the futures from the bottom of when the missile launch went off. So that should be your sign. That should be your signal that there is absolutely nothing to worry about at the moment. Now, again, as you remember from the firm, I get paid to worry about things I'm not supposed to worry about. Well, I believe there's a lot to worry about, but I don't believe that you should say, well, because of this, I am going to sell into this market. Because of this, I'm going to do this. I think this is the biggest thing that we can learn from that event is that the noise of the news and the noise are nothing, and they are already priced in to the market long and well before we get any information. Okay, because again, remember, if you understand the function and how markets work, then many people who spend millions and millions of dollars a year to get this news ahead of you, I already had the news, and they had already priced in what they thought, and that was the initial sell-off to the downside. But as we see from that initial sell-off to the downside, it didn't matter. Okay, it did not matter. And that should be your sign and your understanding that we shouldn't try to sell into the news once we hear it. We should be reacting to the market footprint after that. And there, again, in lies the whole deal. All right. If we understand that, all we have done is given ourselves a better chance to create a successful opportunity to make a good trade. Now, again, unless you get the news first, you're making a mistake trying to play the news, because it's so in today's news flow, the news is so old by the time it gets to you that 5 billion people have already, well, maybe not 5 billion, but let's just say a lot of people have already played it. How's that? All right. And again, if you also understand that the big guys are already paying a lot of money for that information. You know, they have people probably staring at the, you know, it's not a ticker tape anymore, but probably standing there looking for wherever the news would come from. And of course, we've talked about in the past that there are a few of these big investment places that have their own news departments that are actually in under the guise of being news people when they're really in there for the business part of it. So if you think that you're going to get anything ahead of anybody, you know, as they say, inside information, you better think again. You have no chance. All right. You have no chance to get the news ahead. And I think this is where we often make a mistake. You know, you're sitting there, you're maybe an active trader and you're watching else and you hear a news item and you go, oh, I got to get down there. Well, tell there, or at least 1,000 people have already made that trade. All right. So, and that's why you see these dramatic swings back in the market. And I think that's the important thing to understand. This is the Bubba Show, more importantly. And of course, highschoolinvesting.com. These are the things we want to teach the financial literacy to our youth. And of course, I've been running this program for 6 years and have paid for it myself for 6 years. And I'm now looking for a little bit of help. So if you go to Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaTrading, and you'd like to help out, you certainly can. And of course, those of you who do, there are certain levels in which you get a free webinar along with it, and also an autographed copy of my book. In the meantime, don't forget to check that out and go to libertytalk.fm and download the Bubba Show every single day. All right, because we're trying to get to 1 million downloads, and I need your help. I need a lot of your help. Okay, and then of course for you, I want to give you a daily update of the markets, and that is free. All you have to do is go to BubbaTrading.com. The little box will pop up and you can check it out and get a free update every day after the market close. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And of course, you know, we've been talking about these interesting markets, and how about the interesting firing of Matt Lauer from NBC? You know, it's amazing how a little bit of smoke starts to create this big chain of events of things that have gone on forever. And it will be shocked. I think by the time this is all said and done, you will be amazed at the accusations that will have been made about people, of things that have happened, because this is not news. It's not new news. It was always ignored in the past, but it's not new. And I think that this is the bigger problem of the society in which we live in, when the rules are different for different people. And this is the problem, you know, starting with the geniuses on the Hill, okay, that get away with things, and it's the laws are written for them to be able to get away with them things. Not only that, but it is a given that they go ahead and get to pay claims off with our money. So isn't it nice that we get to finance their illegal activities? Maybe we should be held as conspirators, or I can't remember the other word, so I'm not even trying to search for it. But accomplices, and it would come out if I didn't think about it. But are we that naive to believe that this is just new? Did this not go on? Did not our President Clinton get impeached, even though he never left office? But was that not part of it? And again, it's like, well, yeah, this is the first time. Yeah, I believe that too. Right? It's always the first time. Never happened before. And, you know, again, this is not a rocking bomb news shell. Only that he had fired is it news. But again, it became an accepted, unfortunately, an accepted way of the way things that were done. And God forbid we should actually, you know, stand to the laws and take care of the people in this country. Okay. God forbid we should have, you know, not allow women to be abused because of powerful men. I mean, are we down to this now? You know, I think that it's been a tragedy forever. I think that that's where everybody is basically should be equal. And, you know, we shouldn't have these types of events occurring, and it should not be swept underneath the carpet. It should be brought right to the forefront, because, you know, we need to take care of everybody. Okay. And you should not have that power over someone that you can now have create some abuse or other things to, you know, create favors for yourself because of the place that you stand. And I think that is a tragedy. And I think that is, we know it's criminal, but it hasn't been prosecuted yet. But it is a tragedy that we have to have something happen to finally bring out all this abuse that has gone on for years and years and years. Probably, you know, the years are probably in the hundreds. Okay. But to me, again, it goes back to, you know, fair and equal treatment of everybody, which is why, you know, I believe that a job that two people are qualified for equally should be paid equally. It should not matter whether you're man, white, man, woman, black, white, green, purple, whatever you are. If you have the qualifications, the pay should be exactly the same. It should be standard. And then there wouldn't be all of this stuff going on that did not make sense and does not create an equal workplace opportunity. I think that anywhere you go, you should have equal opportunity no matter who you are. And I think that becomes another issue that we have, again, kind of swept up under the carpet over the years and have not allowed it to be the system to run itself correctly. And these are things that I believe in time hopefully will work out. But I'm sad that we have to have these types of things come under first to be abused before they actually hit the front page. And, you know, again, I'm it's a concern, but it does start with the swamp, because the swamp does have a different set of laws that they get to live under. And to me, that's the bigger tragedy, because if that wasn't the case, a lot of these things would never have happened. And that makes it even more of a tragedy, because we don't, you know, treat everybody and every person equally based on what's going on. And that would be what I would think would be the first step that we need to take, is to actually give everybody equal rights and equal abilities to do something, as long as you have the qualifications. And I think that's where a lot of the issues go. And of course, if we just look at how many careers were probably ruined by the actions of some of these people, you know, and no different than, you know, our good old friend Lance Armstrong, who ruined many a person's life and career by badgering them into oblivion when he was accused. And as it turns out, his accusers were correct. So, you know, I think these are the issues that need to be fixed. But again, it doesn't get fixed until you fix the bums who write the laws and who get to ignore the laws. And that's where I think you're going to find, I hope that these people that are coming out that paid the price emotionally, mentally, physically, that this will turn things into a better environment for everybody. Because this is, again, a very sad state of where we are. And we're only scratching the surface here. This is not something that is going to be a small event. This is going to be a major event. But in the meantime, not that I would like to talk more, but I'm actually going to be interviewed by Carrie Lutz of the Financial Survival Network. And, you know, does a lot of podcasting, and he's actually going to interview me, and I'm going to go ahead and tape it into this show. So without further ado, let's go visit with Financial Survivor Network's Carrie Lutz. Here we go.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. It's November 28th, 2017. November just about gone. One more month to go. Imagine that. No crises, no meltdowns. Well, if it's going to happen, it's got to happen quickly, that's for sure. And the stock market just keeps going up like it always has and always should. Is that true? Can you bank on that? Well, before we get started, be sure to send us an email. Join the show, kl@carrielutz.com, Twitter feed @CarrieLutz. And without further ado, Todd Bubba Horowitz is with us now. And Todd, welcome to the show. And do stock markets always go up?
And great to be here, Kerry. Thanks for having me. And well, stock markets always go up year over year. They go up an 8% on average since history, but they don't go up every year. So there are times of pain, which is typically created by human emotion.
Yeah, so human emotion, which is a tricky thing, because human emotion often deceives us into believing emotion is fact, when in fact emotion is anti-fact.
I could not agree with you more. I think that I always say to people that I talk to, there's been a time in your life where you've said something to somebody that you wish you could take back, but out of emotion, you let it slip out. And that's the same thing that people, unfortunately, do with their finances, is they sometimes let it slip out. And of course, you know, the old saying on the trading floor was, when the widows and orphans are lining up at the door, you know that the market is going to reverse one direction or the other. And we'll be back with more with Carrie Lutz, the Financial Survivor Network. But I do want to remind you, as I love to educate and help people better understand the markets, my highschoolinvesting.com program. We are looking for some help. And of course, after financing it for 6 years, I'm running out of cash. So let's see if we can get some help here at Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaTrading. And also don't forget to download the Bubba Show every single day, right there at libertytalk.fm, the only station you need for all of your news and facts that you need. And of course, don't forget to get Bubba's daily update at BubbaTrading.com. It is free. I will email it to you every day after the market close. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back with more with Carrie Lutz's and Financial News Network, Financial Survival Network. Todd Bubba Horowitz, the Bubba Show, will be right back. I know where I come from. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and of course, we're visiting with Carrie Lutz of Financial Survival Network. And we're talking about the widows and orphans trade, and it's something that you could laugh at it, but it is a fact. It is the same story as when you can see the tonsils or see somebody's insides, you know that they're wrong. So let's get back to Financial Survival Network with Carrie Lutz. Here we go.
Are they lining up now?
No, right now they're lining up to take on more margin, Curry. I think that one of the things you have here is a massive debt problem that continues to build. The margin debts are at record highs, and we continue to buy, and everybody knows that the stock markets will never go down again. The pundits are on the war path of this time is going to be different, as are the advisors. And of course, at the end of the day, you and I know from history that the markets will have a correction. And what will determine that is, well, I think that's still not known. We know it's not the Korean conflict. North Korea with their nuclear weapons, that didn't affect the markets. No terrorist attack has affected the markets in recent vintage. So it'll be something, and what it will be, nobody knows. But right now, everybody is as complacent and as happy as they can be as the markets go up every single day.
And yeah, so the markets go up every day. And obviously, if you're in the market, you're way ahead than where you were back in 2010 when it started its meteoric rise. But like you said, something's going to happen, and the debt keeps going higher and higher, and nobody seems to want to do anything about it, do they?
No, I think that's, I believe in my eyes, that's the big fallacy with the tax plan that they're trying to propose right now. They did not decide to discuss any of the debt issues that go along with what's going on. I mean, our debt is bigger. The debt today is bigger than the debt was in 2008 when the housing bubble collapsed. So, you know, when you continue to have people being willing to take on debt without jobs, and of course, we're now starting to see some banks are offering, you know, loans again for no down payment on houses, so the buyers have no skin in the game. It's easy to get deeper in debt, and of course, our system is created to have you get into debt with all of those lovely flyers you get at home offering you 0% financing until you read the fine print, and the 0% financing on cars, which turns out to be about 7 or 8%. All these wonderful things allow people to get into debt. And of course, the other problem is when you have a system that people are not making as much as they used to make, and they keep trying to raise prices, then that creates more debt because I can't get it from the bank because they won't provide the liquidity. I have to go to my credit cards and pay those usury rates they like me to pay.
Yeah. So beware of bankers offering 0% interest, huh?
Well, I think that's a big thing. I think, you know, you've seen, you know, listen, this time of year, it's Christmas season, it's, you know, 90 days, same as cash, whatever, 0% for 5 years. What they don't tell you is that if you forget to make a payment of the minimum, then the interest reverts back to day one. And they also forget to tell you that the interest rates, you know, whatever the top they can charge, 15 or 16 or 17%, which you can never get out of that hole. So that TV set you bought because you didn't have to pay for it right away, all of a sudden becomes, from the $1,000 set you bought, now becomes about a $10,000 TV set.
Yeah. Well, we've seen that. I had it myself. I had gotten like a Home Depot special. I was redoing my kitchen, and you know, like I thought I was paying it off, like over the, you know, I did the division and all that, and what happened? I bought something else that went on that card, so I was off by a few hundred dollars, and they tried to charge me thousands of dollars in interest. And I called them up and said, what's the deal here, guys? And it's like, oh, we'll take that off. That's okay. We'll take it off. But, you know, like, this is what happens here, right, Todd? I mean, the financial system has been, has become a rent-seeking, cannibalistic endeavor, if you will, right?
100%. I mean, again, the whole system behind, you know, if you get into the banking system, the fractional banking, I mean, they are in effect similar to the Fed in being able to print money that they don't have. You know, if you're lending out 9-to-1 of what you are supposed to have, and I would bet that very few of these banks actually have the amount that they're lending out in any case. I don't think they have the one for the 9 they're lending, but now they don't have to have everybody pay. And then of course, the way they show it in their balance sheets creates, you know, bigger bonus for them, so that once again, they can, you know, if they make a mistake, well, guess what? The middle class gets to pay for it for them. So it's, they've got a no risk system, which to me is creates a much bigger problem down the road. And of course, you cannot continue to try to either borrow your way out of debt or kick the debt down the road. At some point, it has to be satisfied. And I think we're coming to that time again, you know, and I don't know when it'll be, but sometime, you know, in the near future, we will have this problem. And that will probably be the downfall of this particular run in the equity markets.
Yeah. So there's going to be some type of debt crisis, you think, and we're just not going to be in a position to handle it. And that's going to, what's going to be the ramifications of it? Are we going to be living in bomb shelters after this? What's going to happen here?
No, I mean, I think that you'll see a, you know, a collapse, and you'll see another big sell-off, and you'll see a bunch of, unfortunately, in this time, the elderly, you know, because I think the biggest problem in today's market is you have the fixed income people and the retirees that are being forced into the stock market because they have no place else to go, because they're always chasing that yield. And, you know, with interest rates at 10-year notes at 2.5% or less than 2.5%, where are they going to put their money? You know, they worked their lives to put away, you know, let's say $500,000. I don't know what numbers, but let's just say that. And they knew that they were going to get 5 or 6% from the bank, and they could get $30,000 a year from that, and they would get another, you know, $15,000 or $20,000 from Social Security, and that would keep them in the life that they had lived their whole life without having to go into their savings. Well, the problem is when you take that away, they're now being forced to go into the equity market, which then puts them in a position that if it does fail, and it will, then they're going to have to go out and get jobs. And unfortunately, there isn't enough good jobs to begin with, let alone having to have the entire retirement community out there looking for jobs so they can live.
So good point. So, but look, on the other hand, so there are challenges for the seniors, but so many people I know just never stop working. Like, there's a group of guys that I met when I moved to Florida at Starbucks. So I'm thinking like 5-6 of them, half of them are retired, don't work. The other half, one guy is 75. I don't think he needs the money, but he works at least 4 days a week. The other guy, he's around the same age. He works 2.5 to 3 days a week, but he's taking longer and longer vacations. It seems to me the concept of retirement, getting the gold watch and all of that good stuff just isn't what it used to be. Is it?
No, I don't think it is at all. I mean, listen, I don't think I would ever retire anyways. I mean, you know, I could retire now, but I don't think I'll ever retire. I think I, you know, I like working. I like being busy. You know, what am I going to do? But I do believe that there is a big portion of people out there, though, that don't have the access to continue working. They can't make enough money, and they are forced to take this savings, this nest egg, and now take it higher risk because, you know, when the pundits tell you that, well, the stock market pays a higher yield than a 10-year bond, what they don't tell you is that the 10-year bond, if you sign up for 2.5%, you're getting 2.5% over 10 years. If you sign up for the stock market, you're not guaranteed to get that return. So there's a whole bunch of things that are involved, and I think that what you have to look at from the non-working class, the fixed income people that either can't or don't want to work anymore. They're going to be forced into a very, very bad position. And of course, the minute, if you've noticed, the few attempts at a sell-off in this market are very rapid, even though we can immediately come back. But that's because every one of them are sitting with their finger on the sell button because they're afraid to death that the markets will sell off, which is probably one of the reasons that we're still propelling a little bit higher, because they're in a hurry to get out. But I think at the end of the day, there's going to be a problem, and this is where it will come from, because the age group of, let's say, 50 to 65 or whatever are the ones who are most affected by the lack of jobs that are available as well, because we don't have the manufacturing jobs or the machine tool jobs. So if you were uneducated and were in the manufacturing business or any machine toolist, you've got no job right now.
Very true. Well, maybe some of Trump's recent initiatives will help that. I mean, mining coming back in the country is up 28% last quarter. Things definitely are starting to happen, aren't they?
I mean, things are getting better, but again, I don't, you know, the problem with, you want to get to the government side of it, the government's a disaster. You know, we have a very, very bad situation. First of all, you've got too many people too far right and too far left. You know, it wasn't that long ago when politicians were more kind of down towards the center and we had different beliefs, which made us right or left. But when you have what's going on now and you're creating all this dissension and hate throughout, and you refuse to recognize the fact that a GDP is only good if it's coming from true growth and not from artificial growth, which is what we are seeing today, I think that becomes the bigger problem. And I don't see, I did vote for Trump. I put that out there and I supported him. And I actually predicted about 18 months, the minute he said he was going to run, I predicted he would win. However, he can't get things done because of what's going on with the general government. You know, you can see how much of a pain this tax plan is. So we have no health care. We have a tax plan that he's going to settle for, which is a brutal for small business. It does not benefit anybody. But again, that's the problems that we have with the overall government and the way that we run things. We run them into the ground. And that's what I think we're going to continue to see here. And of course, we are with Financial Survival Network being interviewed by Carrie Lutz. And of course, it's something that, you know, you can understand where I'm coming from, because you hear a lot of the stuff that I talk about all the time, which he is asking about, which is how he found me and decided he wanted to interview me. Anyways, this is The Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. Don't forget to go to libertytalk.fm and download the show every day. In the meantime, we're going to step out here for a break. We'll be right back with more of The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz coming right back. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And of course, we are visiting with Carrie Lutz of Financial Survival Network. And of course, he seeks me out and wanted some of my stuff. We're talking a lot of the stuff we talk about all the time, but let's get back to it right now. Here we go.
All right. And yeah, so more of the same, basically. And there's a limit to even what Trump can do. I don't know if you've been following the whole brouhaha, which is happening with the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, an entity that probably never should have existed, but here we are, it does exist. And the question is, which lunatic in the asylum is running it? And I guess the courts are going to have to figure out, but can you imagine something like this, Todd, that just... it's just an example of how bad things are with the government, that there's a dispute over whether the president can appoint a head or appoint the administrator of a federal agency.
It shows how screwed up the entire system is. And that goes back to my point that who's running the asylum? And the first thing is, and this is one of the disappointments I find with President Trump, is that one of his big promises initially was to start to work on term limits, because the bigger problem you have here is these idiots that are in lifetime achievement awards for politics and continue to be a lifetime politicians are not beneficial to the country. They're beneficial to themselves. And with all the regulations and things that they can set forth, they don't even have to follow what they set. So you have a problem that it comes down to what? It comes down to money, like everything else. And, of course, they've got the access to get the money, to get the lobbyists. And, of course, they could care less about the general middle class, because who pays for all these things when it's all said and done? The middle class. That's what this whole big thing of inflation is about right now. They need to get assets inflated so that the middle class can pay more taxes.
Yeah, there's really no way to get around it. The middle class pays for everything.
That's correct. And that is the issue that is at hand. And until you get these guys in and out of office, then you get people in there that really are concerned about the country and versus themselves, you're going to have, this is going to be the case. It's the same as what happened with the financial meltdown in 08. It's always the case that the middle class pays the tab. Why were the banks bailed out in 2008? They, you know, everyone wants to say that the system would have melted down without that, but how about they just would have paid off all the depositors of those banks with the money instead of giving it to the bankers. See, I mean, I think that they should have just made all the deposits good, and then everybody had their money, and the banks that couldn't survive, they'd be out of business, and we'd have new banks. But, of course, the regulations don't favor competition. They favor basically getting to the maximum, which is I think any one bank can own 9% of the banking industry, so you've got nine banks plus the little guys hanging out there, and that, I think, is a big detriment to the overall system.
Oh, for sure. And not even thinking about fairness here, the fairness factor involved. But, you know, that Wall Street gets the bailout and Main Street gets the tab.
Which is always the case. And that becomes the overall bigger problem, that you cannot exist. And especially when you've not only destroyed the system that we should be having, but you've now taken away the jobs. I mean, look at the jobs that we have today. Look at the they're talking about what a great employment situation we're in, full employment, but we're making less money. Most of the jobs you're seeing that are being created now are service jobs that don't pay a decent wage. We tie in healthcare with it, and what do you have? You've got an overall disaster. Which will create, again, another problem, you know, down the road. And that's where it needs to stop. And we need to get some a way to rework the economy and rework the way that we do things so that it's a fair and equal playing field, which it's not. I mean, this goes back to, you know, the Creature from Jekyll Island, where they, you know, the theory, the conspiracy theory behind that is that they're trying to eliminate the middle class and make it a two-class system, which is kind of happening as we speak.
Very true. Very true. So is there any hope here? Can anything be done here, Todd?
Well, I mean, I think there's always hope. I mean, if you don't have hope, you have no life. So I think there's always hope. I think that we need some real regulation to change the way that we do things. I think that, you know, you have to revamp Social Security. You've got to revamp a lot of these pension plans. There's going to be some pain to pay early. But you have to, first of all, get everybody on the same page, which to realize that the markets we are living in today, the world we live in today, is no longer as free as we would like it. It's not the system that was designed. And we went to war in 1776 for less than what's going on right now. So, you know, I think that these are the problems, and these are things that might create an overall revolution. I think you might be seeing some of that with some of this cryptocurrency transactions right now. I think that might be a sign that people are starting to get a little bit fed up, and you might be seeing a change. And I think this troubles the bankers, the Jamie Dimons of the world, who's already come out and said what a scam this stuff is, and the other guys that are against this. In the meantime, every one of them are invested in some sort or fashion of this cryptocurrency world through the blockchain and through all the other things that they're doing. But in the meantime, outwardly, they are bashing it. And I think that's where the problem lies. We need to get rid of the people that don't understand the free market system and want total control and total bailouts.
Yeah, well, that sounds reasonable, but it sounds impossible.
Well, I mean, again, if you give up hope, then you might as well just, you know, go lay down somewhere. But I think that there's always the chance for hope, and there's the opportunity that something could change. I mean, who would have ever thought that President Trump or Donald Trump at the time would get elected? I mean, he's as far from a real candidate as you could imagine. Now, if he can get elected and they can get some other people in that are like him, that are more, I mean, he's not right. He's not left. He's a center guy that's about the money. And I have no problem with that part of it, as long as you're willing to try to make it happen for others. And I think that in my mind, that was his desire, was to try to free up the system and get back to real true markets. Because, you know, I'll ask you a question. Do you think we have free markets and price discovery right now?
Oh, of course not. You know, we're not capitalistic anymore, it seems, doesn't it?
No, I mean, the price is determined by, you know, who decides to set the price. And, you know, if you look at, you know, what goes on, why is the stock market going up every day? Because the money is so cheap. So where am I going to go? So they pigeonholed every investor into the stock market alone. You can't go anywhere else, basically. So you're now stuck in the market. If you're stuck in the market, then when we get all loaded up, what's going to happen? Well, it's got to fail. You can't, you know, the housing market is, houses go up when interest rates go down. They go down when interest rates go up. So you don't have a true finding the right price of which a transaction can take place. You have a price based on where the money is. So the money's become imaginary, which is this fiat currency system, which is total BS. Because, again, when somebody can manipulate the price of the currency, then what they can do is they can issue a secondary on the money that I'm holding in my pocket right now. Which right. Doesn't make me happy.
Of course not. Of course not. Yeah, we know that. The system totally corrupt. Hey, Todd, we want to find out more about you. Check out your show. Check out your various services. Where's the best place to go?
BubbaTrading.com is the best place to go. It has everything that I do listed there. And I look forward to hearing from anybody. You can email me at Bubba@BubbaTrading.com. Love to, you know, talk business and see what's going on. And, of course, I'd like to help educate people as well. So that's kind of what we do.
Absolutely. Well, hey, Bubba, we will have a link to your site in the show notes to this interview on financialsurvivalnetwork.com.
And that was our interview with Kerry Lutz of Financial Survival Network. And of course, I want to remind you, first of all, to check out my highschoolinvesting.com site, see what we can do and help, how we can help our youth of America. And to help me, you can go to Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaTrading. And help us out there. And of course, don't forget to get Bubba's daily update every single day, email to you right after the close of the market, so you have a feel for what's going to happen the next day or tomorrow. And of course, LibertyTalk.fm, where you can download the show every single day and help us get to 1 million downloads a month. Don't be left out. We want to help count on you. And of course, this is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, thanks so much for being here, everybody. Have a great day, and we'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.